Lord God, Heavenly Father, visit us and our homes in which your people dwell. Keep all harm and danger far from them. Grant that we may dwell together in peace under the protection of your holy angels, sharing eternally in your blessings through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, we take another step to the Day of Reformation, and we take a look a little bit of one more piece of who Luther was and what he did. If you would, get out your bulletin, turn to the back cover to your Holy Gospel lesson. I'm hoping that you will underline one thing for me. Interesting enough, the people who come to ask Jesus this question are asking it for one reason, is they don't like Caesar either. And so they said, well, we don't like Caesar. We think that Jesus will either lead a rebellion or therefore he will trip himself up. And so they're asking him to do one of the two things. So very interesting is in our gospel lesson, the Pharisees, who are out to make sure that they contain the control to themselves, they look at Jesus and say, basically, Jesus, what should we do about paying taxes? Okay, now notice October 15th was last week, right? Y'all are paid up, right? Don't have to worry about that. I can't go off and tell you that as a Christian, you don't have to pay taxes. We owe submission to the authorities, and therefore paying taxes is just one of the things we get to do, all right? So there's the realm that Luther called, okay, this is the realm of the physical, the civil government, and then there's the realm that Luther talked about, the right-hand kingdom. It is the idea here of the gospel realm, and so those are totally different. We in the United States call that separation of church and state. But Luther did not have that in his mindset. But if you take a look here, what should we do about paying taxes? And so he says, okay, guys, just show me the coin, all right? So if we take a look at here, his response in Matthew 22:20, read this with me. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? All right, so if I asked you to take out money, what would you let me borrow? What would you entrust me with? A penny? Do y'all even carry coins nowadays? You give me the credit card. You guys realize he's trusting me with a credit card. Depending on whose inscription that is on there, yeah, we can have some fun with that. I was just, you know, the penny has whose likeness? Lincoln, all right? And so if we take a little bit more, who is this? Kennedy. JFK, all right? Interesting words that we've printed on there. All right, how about this? All right, don't know anything that much about him. All right, no, he's a great commander. And 1972, that was before my time. All right, I won't tell you how much before my time. All right, but on the back of it, beautifully, the eagle with very interesting, the idea that in America, we belong to this dual thing of peace, and yet we will defend ourselves, all right? So very interesting is that we, too, have likenesses on our coins. Now, does anybody in here believe Eisenhower was a great man? I don't know that much about him. I really don't. He's one of the kind of figures in history that I kind of skip over, I think he probably could be, but I don't know that much to comment on him. But does anyone revere him as more than just a president? Is he a god? He built highways. which we love to speed on. All right, very good. All right, good point. So we can go faster in our cars and get there sooner. All right, so he did some good things. And so when Jesus is, they're trying to trick him, and Jesus says, okay, just show me what you pay taxes with. And someone brings him a likeness here and says, okay, in this coin, you see someone's face on it. And at that time, it would have been Caesar who declared himself a living God, all right? And so you worship only him. And so here's Jesus as God in human form, and they're trying to trick him, and he says, okay, this coin, what does this mean? It means this is what you use to pay taxes and nothing else. If it's just a coin to you, all you do is you pay taxes. What you owe, it's not something here as they bring it to him. It's not something that you worship. It's just something you use in your daily life. And so he says, you need to keep the thing separate. There's God and there's everything else. And so Rabbi Zacharias, he defends the faith, which means that any question that people have, he usually answers them. You can find him online. He is an amazing God, guy, and he just has this, he's this thing about God. He says he wished God would continue this conversation, because he says, whose inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And so he said, okay, if this is the inscription of Caesar, and that's a coin, let me look inside of your heart. Who's imprinted on you? Whose face is on you? When someone looks there and doesn't see the coin but sees somebody else, what does that mean? And so this morning we take a look at the way in which Luther takes this concept of the inscription of God, and we take a look at what he championed.
God so loved the world, he gave his only son.
Luther thought parents should teach their children about the Ten Commandments, the Lord's faith, Prayer, and other fundamentals of the faith. With his own children, he often turned teaching into a game.
Yes.
A coin in the correct sleeve meant a reward for the right answer.
Who's next?
By far the most important of all is namely the command of God, who urges parents so often to instruct their children.
Faith or love?
Indeed, for what purpose do we older folks exist, other than to care for, instruct, and bring up the young?
I have a little something for you.
Ta-da!
Part of Luther's response was to create an educational tool, a basic textbook of the faith called a catechism.
His ability to be succinct and to come to the heart of it all is just remarkable.
Long before comic books, Luther understood the power of images to communicate to young people. His catechism was richly illustrated with explanatory woodcuts.
So the image kind of ties everything together and helps us not only to know it and to have that information, but to feel it.
Luther tapped artist Lucas Cranach to illustrate the catechism and many of Luther's other works. New, inexpensive printing methods meant that for the first time in history, storytelling images could be widely disseminated as a new kind of educational tool, a tool Luther embraced.
For example, the very first version of Luther's Small Catechism, published in 1529, was actually published on large sheets of paper. And these were really kind of designed as posters. You could pin them up on a wall and people could come by and see the pictures and see the message that's conveyed there in the text.
In more and more homes across Germany, the sheets of the catechism hung side by side with images of Luther.
Kind of makes you wonder if Luther used the most innovative and newest technology to display visual aids to teach about the Bible. You always kind of wonder what Luther might use today in order to teach And so this morning we take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. If you would, read this with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Does anyone disagree with the fourth commandment? Is this a useful commandment to get into? Should we really talk about this? This is probably, when we're teaching the commandments in catechism, the parents really like this one. Why do you think that is? Why? Doesn't that make you wonder? What is it about being a parent that after all the joys of teaching your kids the structure of life, why would it be that you would hope that one day your child would learn to respect you? And so you kind of wonder, okay, so if we're going to teach this, if we're going to teach that our kids should have a model there, an inscriptional model of what's going on, we also need to take a look at verse 4 of this same chapter. Let's read this together. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you notice in that video piece, who is doing the teaching? Luther. Luther took it upon himself when he was going around to different little Lutheran churches all over the place. He came to be shocked. What he found is that people were doing all sorts of different things on Fridays and Saturday nights, and then the same people he would see in church on Sunday. And he said, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. One of the problems, a lot of people did not know how to read. Okay? And so most of the things that they had to teach, they had to learn at church. And that was a problem because most of them grew up into this society that the church did not teach in the same language. So when the Lutheran Reformation comes along, they started teaching. And Luther comes to these small churches and says, okay, what are you teaching? And the pastors, some of which couldn't read themselves. There's a small problem there. We know that they didn't have the scriptures. They were too expensive. And so Luther devises this small catechism. And we see that through the illustrations, through the simple teachings, Luther put into the hands of the parents, here you go. Here is a simple tool in which you can teach the faith to someone else. And who did he put it to first? I wonder where Luther got this concept. I mean, literally through scripture, fathers, he says, it is your duty. And so when you open up, and everyone here this morning can open up in even one of these hymnals and read inside the catechism, as the head of the household, teaching your children. And so there is this concept here that we want to get in just a little bit this morning, that we all have different roles, and God calls us into these different roles. And so Luther says, okay, the scriptures declare that it is the job of the parents in order to teach children. You have the most influence. You have the most sway with kids, with your normal kids, adopted kids, foster kids, grandkids, kids from down the street. Each one of you in here has great influence, no matter who you are, how many children you have, how many you don't. You all have great influence. And so sometimes we say, well, kids don't listen nowadays. You're right, they don't. It takes teaching over and over and over and over again. And so sometimes that is truly exhausting. And so we say, who influenced you? Who influenced you? Who helped put that concept of that inscription, that that face of Christ into your heart? Who influenced you? And so as I say that, I also want to put it into your mind, don't let it stop there. Because if it does, then the next generation, the next generation after that, they don't learn of Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to keep sharing the faith, friends, but also with family. That's what Luther championed. And so that's what we do this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, this is a difficult thing to talk about, Lord. The busyness of life sometimes gets literally in the way of everything. Lord God, we want to be a people whose inscription, whose likeness carries you, Lord. And there are so many things that would take our minds, our hearts away from your teaching. So we ask you, Lord, to go with us. Because passing along the faith takes years. Sometimes years takes patience. Sometimes endurance that we feel we don't have. Be with us, Lord, as this family seeks to find ways in which to pass along to the next generation, to mold and to mentor with you in mind and what you did for us on the cross, that we want to be inspired and we want to have the likeness of you carrying that cross in order to give your life. That is an amazing picture to keep in our hearts, that we would take up our crosses and follow you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.